Well, we're going to switch gears now, and joining me on the phone is Democratic State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch from Hillside. He's chairman of the House Higher Education Appropriations Committee. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Rick, good morning. Always a pleasure.
Well, welcome back from downstate. I know that you were at a couple of hearings involving the SIU system, one in Carbondale and one in Edwardsville. And, I mean, this, I went to both. And so this seems like a very troubling situation, the fate of where these two schools are headed, internal disputes between them involving financing. And also, I wonder if it speaks to the larger issue of just another reflection of what the problems are in higher ed after the after that budget impasse.
Yeah, Rick, I got to tell you, it's real interesting. And, you know, one of the things I got to see for myself and hear for myself was from people just like you who actually attended both Carbondale and Edwardsville campuses. And it's a real emotional roller coaster that a lot of folks down there are on. And to me, listening to everything from everyone, it all comes back to the serious disinvestment in higher education that's been going on in the state of Illinois since 2001. I noted the timeline, and I don't think it's coincidental that Representative Jay Hoffman from the Metro East area, a good friend of mine, he filed legislation in 2003, 2013, and again this year in 2018 that dealt with the separation of those campuses. And I don't think it's coincidence that it coincides with the disinvestment of higher education in Illinois that's been going on since 2001, and also the punch in the gut that all higher education institutions took with the budget impasse for 2.5 years under Bruce Rauner. And we have to turn that around and, as a state, say that all of these campuses are important to us and start putting money back into them. Because right now they're just fighting over the scraps, Rick.
Well, when I went to SIU Edwardsville, it's vastly different now than the campus I attended when it was almost a glorified commuter campus. They had very little student housing, huge parking lots where I got plenty of parking tickets. But it was, it's a beautiful campus on 1,600 acres overlooking the bluffs on the Mississippi River. And I was like, you know, one of the few kids from the Chicago area to attend there. Now, it's a real four-year institution. New dorms, student population is now expected, I see, to surpass Carbondale. I mean, nowhere could I ever believe that would be the case. And I think, you know, if anything, you know, we talk about Western Illinois and Eastern Illinois, particularly during the depths of that budget impasse. But Carbondale just took a significant hit. And I don't know that Carbondale ever recovers fully.
Well, certainly what it doesn't without our help. I got to tell you, and the difference between the two was stark. Monday was the first day of class at Carbondale, and we were on campus there. And the second day of class, we were on campus at Edwardsville. And when you drive into both, you see a big difference. Edwardsville is a beautiful campus, 228,000 acres with 8 dorms and probably more going to be built. It's a wonderful campus for us that's definitely keeping students in Illinois. And I think they should be congratulated for the great work that they're doing. They're right there. They're 15, 20 minutes from Missouri. We could easily be losing those students to our neighboring state. But thankfully, they're choosing a beautiful place like Edwardsville and staying right here in Illinois. But we have to have the same thing going on in Carbondale, Rick. That school is about worth about $1 billion to that entire geographic region. And if we let Carbondale die, we're going to kill an entire geographic region of our state. And I don't think anyone wants to see that happen.
No, but is the animosity between these campuses and their leaders so great that you know, I mean, this is one of those where you kind of, you look at that mantra, you know, you're stronger when you're working together. And, but yet, you know, you still have the animosity about funding. Carbondale still gets a 64-36% split, I believe, of the funding for the system. And, you know, there, I mean, there should be some modernization reflecting the increased enrollment in Edwardsville, but is it enough to really, you know, tear apart this SIU system?
I don't think tearing apart the system is really the answer. I definitely think they have to take a good, hard look at their leadership, and that starts with the Board of Trustees. That may be something that the General Assembly have to look at. Hey, maybe a new governor will have to take a serious look at it as a first order of business, because I certainly believe that the past 4 years has not helped the SIU system. You know, first and foremost, stable budgets is critically important to them and all of our universities. And to go 2.5 years without a budget was just reckless and irresponsible. And we should never have a governor who leads that effort ever again, because you're seeing in Carbondale exactly the result of that budget impasse. But I also think that the fight between the two is because, you know, the funding's just not been there coming from the state.
Well, and as you mentioned, both campuses, both beautiful campuses, obviously Carbondale, the older campus, and, you know, we've been deferring maintenance on so many things around this state, and we, you
about know. $600 million worth of deferred maintenance on Carbondale's campus, and it shows.
Alone. And that doesn't necessarily help entice and attract students. I mean, somewhere we got to get a capital bill approved, and somewhere we got to figure out a way to fund that.
We do. I got to tell you, now, I want people to do understand that I saw some remarkable things on the campus of Carbondale. First time in both places for me this past week, and I just love the communications building. They need to sell that place because freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors are getting on camera experience in broadcasting. Their newspaper and radio programs are unbelievable. What I saw at the Paul Simon Institute and the people I met and the research that's going on and the internships available, if you're interested in politics and government, you want to be in Carbondale. And people forget, down there in Southern Illinois, there's a law school right there on the campus of SIUC. And both schools have some unique and wonderful opportunities going on, because then if you travel 90 miles over to Edwardsville, you got an amazing top nursing school, a dental school. We got some great things right here in Illinois. We just have to invest in them and help them grow.
We're speaking with State Representative Chris Welch from Hillside. He is chairman of the House Higher Education Appropriations Committee. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. (312) 981-7200 is our phone number. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. I'm here in the Allstate Skyline studio overlooking the Chicago River on Upper Wacker Drive. And on the phone is Democratic State Representative Chris Welch of Hillside. We're talking about higher ed. We've been talking specifically, more specifically, about the SIU system. But you mentioned kind of the issues of funding higher ed have, I mean, this is not just because of the two-year budget impasse, but it does go back. And I remember when Governor Blagojevich came in and proposed his first budget, and there was the unwritten rule that of any new money that the state was taking in, that two-thirds of it went to grade and high schools and a third of it went to higher ed. Governor presents his budget. There's no mention of that at all. And when I asked him about it, he said he had never heard of that before. And it just seems like higher ed has become this elite kind of thing to go to college that, I mean, it obviously we saw during the impasse with the inability to fund those monetary award program grants that, you know, that helped prompt some of this exodus out of state by a number of students, because there was no guarantee that they were going to get those MAP grants funded.
That's right. But I tell you, I think our universities would first and foremost be happy with knowing that they're going to have a stable budget year after year, because then they can do some real planning. But if they were to receive a dollar for every two that K through 12 received, they would be ecstatic to get back to that model. And one of the things that the Higher Education Working Group is going to be looking at when we convene in Bloomington this week is how do we properly fund our universities, colleges and universities, consistently with stable funding and appropriately. And because all of us know that if we're going to properly lift up the Illinois economy, we're going to do it through these colleges and universities who are going to prepare our skilled and trained workforce.
Well, yeah, and it's, and the, this is also includes that whole issue. You know, we have all this talk about vocational training and skills training. I mean, that's an essential part of what we know as higher ed. It's not the old traditional what we thought of as college before.
Critical, critical. When I was down in Southern Illinois this week, I also stopped by John Logan Community College, and one of the things that I learned from the president was that they have a waiting list for their CTE courses. That's their vocational courses. And that's a great thing to have. And it's feeding a lot of the industry that is down there currently. And so imagine if they can leave Logan after 2 years and head over to SIUC's campus because the state's actually given them the funding to continue to build on that type of training. You know, building a skilled and trained workforce is what colleges and universities do, and we need to do our part to support it.
Well, now that we have the new funding formula for grade and high schools, it's almost, you know, seems as a time we look at some kind of a formula for our public universities and community colleges.
That's right, and that's the question we're going to be tackling this week.
Obviously, the issue comes down to money, and you know, with given the setbacks that higher ed has seen in the during the budget impasse, I mean, I can't remember what the level of funding that is in this current budget, but it's good to have a budget, but it's nowhere to where they were before.
Oh gosh, no, we're about 2% higher from 2015's level, but we're about $1 billion short of where we were in 2001. So here we are 17 years later, and we're $1 billion less. We need to probably be $1 billion more in higher education, not less, if we're going to be doing things properly. And that story is going on at campuses all over the state. Today, shortly here, I'm headed out to Champaign-Urbana. I'm going to listen to students out in the quad. I'm going to hear from the university officials later on this afternoon. I'm going to hear the same story I just heard in Southern. It's going to all come back to funding. When you're dealing with $1 billion less than you had 17 years ago, that story is going to resonate everywhere I go.
Now, you know, obviously with the University of Illinois kind of being the flagship school in the state, but, you know, lately keep hearing about, for example, the Discovery Partners Initiative that here in Chicago that's part of the University of Illinois, efforts to, you know, dramatically increase the availability of engineering and skills programs, tech programs through the University of Illinois in not just Urbana-Champaign, but Chicago, other places. You know, is there a chip on the shoulder of these other universities in the state?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we have to support at the mothership, we call the U of I system, and with the research park in Champaign-Urbana and soon to have research park here in the Chicago area, you know, we are truly going to rival Simi Valley, and we're going to bring those companies and those jobs right here to our state. The regional universities, I call them, actually should embrace that because that's going to be more families and more bodies and students that can eventually be put into their seats in some of these regional places because there's only so much room at the U of I system. And a lot of those folks that will be at the DPI right here in the city of Chicago can feed NEIU, can feed Chicago State and UIC's campuses. I think there's nothing but positives that can come from that.
I know that the governor this past week signed the Aim High legislation, I believe it's called, but a new type of grant program for students. Could you talk about that for just a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for that question, Rick, because you know, that opportunity, because that is one of the bills that the Higher Education Work Group produced this past legislative session. It creates a new $25 million merit scholarship program that the institutions are required to match, which makes it a $50 million merit scholarship program. And basically what we're doing is we're saying we're sick and tired of seeing Illinois students go to out-of-state schools, and we need to find a way to compete. And we believe the merit scholarship is certainly a way to get Illinois back in the game. We're gonna stop those kids from going to Alabama and get them into U of I or Northern or Southern or one of these Illinois schools, because they certainly have to choose an Illinois school to be eligible for the scholarship. And that was followed last week, the governor signing the 4-year MAP grant guarantee bill. So those are some things that have come out of the Higher Education Work Group that we believe are going to positively impact higher education right away.
Now, this the AIM High scholarship, that's merit-based, as you say. So it's
correct. And the MAP grant is low income. It's based on income needs. But the AIM High is merit-based.
Which we really haven't had in a, you know, in a comprehensive way in the state before.
First time ever. It's a pilot program. I got to believe it's going to be enormously successful and eventually become a permanent program.
Well, what else is going on with the Higher Education Working Group?
Well, we start up again this week. This will be our second year of work. There was a lot of things that we left on the cutting room floor because we ran out of time last session. And we're going to pick up from there and go. We're going to look at these funding issues. Now that we've got the funding formula solved for K through 12, let's do it for higher ed. And let's look at some of these other non-funding issues that the experts tell us could possibly help. Like, does Illinois need a common application? They can go to one source and fill out an application, and all the universities receive that application, as opposed to a family having to apply to each university and pay a separate fee for each one. Let's make it easier for our students to apply and get into our colleges and universities and not make it difficult.
I like that. Boy, that would have saved me some time back in the day, filling out all those forms and everything. Wow.
And when you couple that with the 175-page FAFSA application, well, you're making it a real difficult process for them.
You had to bring up the nightmare of the FAFSA application. Yes, the dreaded FAFSA application.
That'd be a simpler way to do that.
Thank goodness I'm done with those days. Democratic State Representative Chris Welch from Hillside, thank you so much for joining me this morning, and safe travels to Urbana-Champaign.
Rick, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
We'll be back with more right after this.